Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Yeah, Straight Set Exits, Orange Tsunamis, the swashbuckling blues roll on. The selection crunches on ahead of the prelims, and finally, a week without the tribunal. Welcome to the Footy Podcast. I'm Will Hogan, and on today's show, we talk with John Ralph about why key position players will shape the trade and free agency period, and take a walk down Media Street with Scott Gullen. But first, we're joined by Glenn McFarlane to remember the great Ronald Dale Barassi. Let's do it. And we're joined by Glenn McFarlane. Macca, how's your last few days been?
It's been busy, Will.
Busy.
I think it is this time of year anyway, isn't it? But also when the great Ronald Dale Barassi passes away, honestly, they have a Mount Rushmore for AFL, VFL, AFL figures. Yep. He's the number one carved into the mountain, I reckon.
Yeah, for people that, you know, we obviously know how important he was.
Absolutely.
And we're reading the last few days. But in terms of significance to football, he's right up there.
He's right up there. You think Kevin Sheedy and Lee Matthews rolled into the one and coming before them. It's, you know, obviously he was six-time premiership player from Melbourne. He's the story of a movie, if you look at it. Like this young kid who grows up without a dad. His dad dies when he's 5 at war. Almost, you know, taken under the wing from the Melbourne Football Club and from one of his dad's teammates to become, you know, the most competitive, aggressive, successful player going around, who then goes on to coach 4 clubs and 4 premierships. It's quite a remarkable story. But also, I think the most important thing, and this has been said a couple of times, that the only person who didn't know how big Ron Barassi was Ron Barassi, because he would make you feel like you're his friend, even though you weren't his friend. You would go to shake his hand. He would drag you into him almost like an embrace. Didn't know whether you knew him or not. That's what he did. He was just an extraordinary person. Massive player in probably, arguably, one of the most successful eras of all time, but then became a coach who completely changed football. Completely changed football. And there's not many people that have done that over the journey.
Yeah, it's been fascinating reading all the stories from the you know, the player before his time, from the movement to Carlton, to telling people to handball, Teddy Hopkins. You know,
These little stories that he just changed football. And, you know, he was behind a Melbourne Footy Club expedition to go and recruit Irish players. And one of them was a skinny teenager called Jim Steins, who, again, changes the fabric of, you know, he was the first guy to sit up in the stands as a coach rather than sitting on the bench because he thought it gave an elevated view. He just changed football in so many different ways. And that's why the AFL have got to do something pretty significant to and I've been pushing, and we saw Robbo again pushed on the weekend. The Premiership Cup should be named the Ron Barassi Cup. I have no problem with that. But they've got to come up with something significant, and they need to do it now.
And as you say, he was the visionary. So
he was.
I think the AFL owe it to him.
Absolutely. Like
to do something that's
100%. Like, and as I say, he was not just an AFL figure. He was a decent human being who was the heart and soul of this town. He was a hero in so many different ways, not just on the field. We saw, you know, in 2009, people will remember, if they can, old enough to remember, the fact that he went to the rescue of a woman being belted by somebody on the street in St Kilda.
Remarkable.
30-odd years earlier, he dragged a young Greek immigrant who had just arrived in Australia out of a burning car in Fitzroy Street, and helped save this guy's life. And 30 years after that, we were able to reunite the two together. And so he was a hero on and off the field, and I'm rattling on a bit because I really love the bloke. Nah, he's fantastic.
I think you're fair enough to do that. And for all these stories that you've written over the last few days, they're in Sunday's Herald Sun, Monday's Herald Sun, and online.
Yeah, so absolutely.
People, you know, if you want to take a minute to look at Ron's life, I think it's worth it.
It's an incredible legacy anyway he leaves, and just a shame the Melbourne Football Club, in a sense, couldn't get over the line for him, but it was his old club, Carlton, that beat him on Friday night anyway.
And it was a good segue, Macca, because, you know, Ronald's life, it was touching, you know, after that game between Carlton and Melbourne.
Yeah.
And now Carlton are into a preliminary final. I don't think anyone would have predicted that 12 weeks ago.
Unbelievable. You still shake your head, don't you?
And now they've got a selection crunch ahead of them as well.
They do. It's fascinating, though, which way they're going to go, isn't it? Like, Martin will play. Yeah. Obviously, how good is that tribunal turnaround now, the extra week
just
off?
Just the 1 week.
And by all reports, I was down there yesterday, by all reports, Harry Mackay should be right to go, which is a huge bonus for them. And that makes a really hard selection crunch, but you would think Cunningham is the one to come out.
Which would be a shattering story for him, given everything he's been through, injuries.
Subbed out on the weekend.
And he's played
the
last 10 or 11 rounds.
It's a tough call. Really tough call. And same with Matt Kennedy. Like, just got himself back from injury, and he's the one that, you know, potentially could fall out. I see we've done a bit of a selection type thing. A few people had Matt Owies out as well, which was interesting. I was surprised by that.
I found that hard. Just because
he
does add that, you know, level of forward defensive pressure.
I think they need that little bit of small electricity in the forward line sometimes.
But Motlop's the one that's probably gone.
Correct.
You know, he's jumped ahead.
And Hollins is going to play, even if it's the sub, because how horribly wrong did Melbourne get the sub on the weekend on a massive stage?
Yeah,
and Carlton
absolutely.
Got it right, because the kid came on and just gave him something right at the end.
And you mentioned you were out at Icon Park yesterday talking to Tom DeConing.
Yes.
An interview that's coming later in the week. But how was Tom ahead
really
of
good.
His first preliminary final?
Yeah, really good. Really laid back. Yeah. Really good. And, you know, obviously had a really nice story from John Ralph last week about TDK, and he does do amazing things. We saw that. He talks a little bit about, there's a bit of Robbie Williams in there, of course, but he talks a little bit about his connection with Mark Pitney, and also his high-flying escapades and what they think about that inside the Carlton Footy Club. He's got a lot of tickets. He's trying to get some family up there as well, so he's got tickets coming as well. There's 10 in the family, if you know what I mean, in this big blended family that is the DeConing family. And really interesting that he says the only time he can see himself really playing with his brother is for the Torquay Tigers. But the way how young they both are and how good they are, that might be 10, 15 years down the track.
Yeah, put your money on the 2040 Premiership.
Absolutely, the Torquay Tigers. Bring it on.
You mentioned he was laid back. He's not really a footy head, is he? Did he watch the semi-final between the Giants and Port?
He's not a massive footy head. He's a real surfer. He loves going surfing and loves that sort of stuff. I think his brother was probably a bit more. What I found fascinating, I always thought he was a Carlton supporter because his brother grew up as a massive Carlton supporter. The family are mostly Carlton supporters in there, and he was for a period until a bloke called Nick Riewoldt came along and the blonde locks, and that's why he wears number 12, because of Nick Riewoldt. There you go. So there's a little bit of that in there. He's a really nice kid. And, gee, he has the decision to stay, but also he has played a big role in this Carlton revival, hasn't he?
Definitely, yeah. I think on Friday it was one of the better games we've seen
him
play.
He takes a couple of amazing marks, but he kicks the two goals in a minute and a half period, that Carlton's first two goals, that keep them in the game.
Yeah, that's it. And speaking, you know, Tuesday morning, Jack Payne you know, is in some doubt. But, Macca, your quick tip for Brisbane and Carlton, can the Blues do it?
I don't think they can. Yeah. Like, I think the fairy tale ends here, but it's been some sort of ride, hasn't it? So I think Brisbane are the team to beat. I'd say that almost across the board. They are a really scary team to play. They've got a pretty healthy list in terms of, you know, still if Payne plays. Just the Gabba. For me, the Gabba is the key. They play at the Gabba, they win. You just usually lock that away.
And if Payne does miss, does it shift the pendulum enough?
A little. Yep. Maybe not enough. I think this is the clear-cut semi-final, and that's not playing down Carlton, because I think they've been great. But they've had to do it the hard way. They've had to, you know, sometimes you've got to keep rolling along and winning games, and they've had to do that for a long time. But I think they'll give a good account of themselves, but I think just Brisbane will be too strong.
And if we move to obviously the other game.
There's another game, is
there? And it should be a cracker, I reckon, this one. The Giants.
This is the one I'm trying not to think about.
Clearly, your Magpies are, you know, they've had the week off, and I think they might have been a little bit scared watching the GWS Giants play on Saturday night. They're champagne football at the moment. It is impressive to watch. They've got, you know, superstars across every line, and one in particular down forward in Toby Green. But, you know, Nick Dacos is back. MCG crowd.
Yeah.
Does Fly change up anything at selection table, or is it just straight in Adams.
I think it is.
Dacos.
I think it is. Like, obviously, there's a bit to come. We're speaking on Tuesday morning, so there's a lot to come. And, you know, and John Noble will be trying to push hard. Like, and I think he was wearing the black jumper yesterday. It's a bit, obviously, the black jumpers are the ones that are likely to play, but they do swap them around a little bit on Friday night.
I noticed Ginnivan was in a black jumper as well.
Yes, he was. You would think he probably is the sub again.
I think
isn't
so.
He?
But this is what we love in prelim week. You know, who's wearing the black jumper, the white jumper? What are the selection calls?
And they change it. Like, it's quite funny because I was at the Friday night.
Yes.
Well, we'll call it match sim that Taylor Adams went down in, and they flip jumpers. They bring out this. It's like a wardrobe they bring out of guys so they can flip jumpers over as well. So I'm not sure Ron Barassi would have thought about that in the day.
It doesn't help the track watchers trying to figure out who's in.
Well, you think, I'm onto a story here, and then the next minute it flips around. But I think the logical thing is Taylor Adams, you know, we know he won't play, but the logical thing is Dacos comes in. I'd be surprised if they change too much more to that. It's pretty hard to drop anyone. I think the ones that were on the cusp were Lipinski, who the coach absolutely loves. And Ginnivan as well. But Ginnivan to come on to bring a bit of spark. Lipinski, you know, is safe. But, gee, if they do happen to get through, it's going to make a real selection crunch there. If Adams proves his fitness, like you saw yesterday, that he was moving around reasonably well. Could he do a Stephen May? I think it was 15 days that Stephen May got back to play. So going to be an interesting watch.
No, it should be. So you think the Lions, but
yep.
In the other game,
this is the close one.
Who you think will win?
I think Collingwood will win.
Yeah.
And I think that's an element to do with I think they've had that week's break. I think Dacos, let's be honest, they did two halves of match practice.
Yeah.
He was outstanding in that first part. He started at halfback.
Yeah.
So he started at halfback and gathered. I think I had a good chat to Will Hoskin-Elliott, who reckons he had 10 disposals in the first 2 minutes. It wasn't 10, but gee, it was probably 7 or 8 in fairness. And then for a period after that, he went through the midfield. So I think he will play a bit of both. You know, I don't think he'd be exclusively mid, but he looks fit enough to go in the mid. So it's just what a player to be able to bring back if he's at that sort of level. So that's why I think I favour Collingwood in that sense. They did beat the Giants really easily last time they played them, but they're a different side now, the Giants. And I also remember the spectre of 2019 preliminary final still looms large when the Giants upset the Magpies without Toby Green.
And I think
Lockie Whitfield. And there was another one. Did Canelio play?
I don't think he played in that game either. Famous scenes of them
in the race. Yeah, so it could be the same this week. And we could have it. We're all talking about a Collingwood Carlton grand final. Could we have the nightmare on Brunton Avenue? Could we have Brisbane versus GWS? Well, now, that would be interesting.
Good for anyone that wants to go to the game.
Yes. You'd be able to get a few tickets here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But I think the Pies will win. I think it'll be very close, though.
Macca, we wait and see if you're right. And well done once again, Ron. Good on you. Dale Barassi.
Thanks, Will. Cheers. This is Brownies Podcast. G'day, it's John the Brown, the host of Brownies Podcast. Along with my boys Dino and Campbell Brown, we give you the world's loosest podcast.
How did you get locked up again?
I was set up by the Queensland Coppers.
This Bazball has been crazy.
What the
Bazball?
Twiggy cash.
Shove the bullets next time we go to war. God forbid someone gets hurt.
Oh, there it is.
Well, ask your smart speaker to play Brownies Podcast or search for Brownies Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast.
Now it's time to take a walk down Media Street with Scott Gullen. Scott, how are you going?
William, good to be here.
You're back from Budapest?
Oh, I am. That's true.
This is, I think the last time you were on the podcast, you were heading off there. So that was...
It was a wonderful event. Australia was magnificent.
Good media turnout to the big events?
It's a very large media turnout. It's a worldwide event. Nina Kennedy, my girl, was outstanding.
Yep. No, she was fantastic. I think the loyal football followers would know who she is. So we'll move on from there. So you were back last week. You dropped your next segment of Media Street, which broke the internet as it always does. But it sort of followed a bit of a trend, as in recent months. A bit of a bad blood between SEN and Channel 9 and the fight for talent.
Yeah, no, it's getting a bit tight because Matthew Lloyd, so Trade Radio, as we know, has become a bit of a institution in the AFL. It clicks into gear when the season finishes.
Yep.
And it runs from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, which is extraordinary. But Kane Corns and Matthew Lloyd have done it for the last 5 years. Mm. Lloydies also does stuff for AFL.com, so Trade Radio appears on AFL.com, but it's produced by Craig Hutchison's SEN. So 9 Radio/3RW, where yep. Lloydie is a special comments man, have said, No Trade Radio this year because Kane and Lordy worked together on Footy Classified, so they've got a good rapport. So I was a bit shocked, Lloyd. He was didn't see it coming, and it's the latest sort of barb in between this SEN 9 thing, which we saw Jared Healy and Sports Day. I mean, that was a long
that was on SEN.
Was on 3RW,
but produced by SEN.
Yeah, that was this a weird Hutchison deal. But
yeah,
he had always been on 3RW, obviously for 30 odd years, and a cult show, and then. 3RW took back control of it, and then they wanted to rebrand everything Wide World of Sports.
That's right.
So then they wanted to make it one host, and Jared likes the combination of two. And so then SEN offered him the world, and he went over there. So that's another little shot over the bow for Nine, who then went with Sam McClure's doing a good job by himself under the banner of Wide World of Sports. So there's a lot of this happening. I mean, Fox Footy and Triple M, these types have become a bit more territorial with their talent, and but these two radio stations are very much going at each other where they can.
Yeah, so clearly stations and companies want to keep, you know, the talent that they have on the stations that they own. But as a media people, you know, and you yourself, you're on different platforms.
Absolutely.
So it's this fight between talent and companies.
Well, it's hard.
Where
like,
they appear.
Yeah, like TV and radio. A lot of TV guys are obviously on radio as well, but now it's getting harder. It used to be just go for your life, no worries. Now, because their opinions are so valued, it's sort of by the time it gets onto the radio or the TV, you've heard it three or four times. And I think that's what, even though Trade Radio, back to the Lloyd example, is out of season, really.
Yes.
He's not really with 3RW. He's got a contract and he'd appear on Wide World Sports probably in places like that. But that's why they're going, no, no, our talent is our talent. So they're, and Seven's the same. All of them are getting much more territorial.
And do you think this will continue to happen now?
I think the stakes, I mean, SEN and Channel 9/3RW, I think they're very much looking at each other, trying to find an edge. And if they can steal someone, they'll do it, and keeps us all amused.
Well, and 3RW famously stole Anthony Hudson back, was it back?
Yes,
from
back.
SEN?
He was lured back. So, again, another good example. They keep chipping away. And Dwayne went from 3RW to SEN. Yeah, there's a lot of crossover, and it's not forgotten.
Who knew the radio industry was so competitive?
It is. It's a bitchy world out there.
Yeah.
So, we've got to protect you.
So, Scott, at Wednesday 12 PM is when Media Street drops, and as I like to do on this podcast and in person, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm attending an awards dinner tonight.
Okay.
Where all the media in Melbourne is coming together. So generally that causes, there's issues everywhere there. So I'm most likely going to have an item from that will help for our Wednesday drop.
Okay. Well, usually those things they say Chatham House rules, but you might just have to.
Oh, not when. No. I'll be talking to people in the darkened corners.
That's what we like to hear. Scott, thank you, and see you next time.
Always a pleasure.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're joined by John Ralph to talk some trade. Ralphie, how are you going?
You only need 6 weeks of great football. I'm fantastic. I'm not as good as Ben Mackay because wherever he goes, he's going to get filthy rich. And really, he's done it on the back of six really good weeks. So Penny's about to drop. The North Melbourne Best and Fairest is behind him. He's not in a desperate hurry given that Fred and she only kicks off the Friday after the grand final week, but all three clubs still think they're in the race. What we do know with a huge amount of certainty is he's going to get a very long-term deal and a pretty significant amount of money.
So he's got a decision to make, and you broke the news yesterday, Monday. He was speaking on Tuesday that he toured Hawthorn on Saturday. You know, they're not seen as a favourite, but clearly if you're touring a club, you know, he is weighing up going there.
He's an interesting cat. You know, there are some blokes who just bask in the limelight. They want to be at the Power Club. They want to be at the Collingwood. They want to be in the media's eye. I'm not sure Ben's really that guy. I know he does his podcasts and all those different things. But I think there is a view at North Melbourne that if he goes to Essendon, he's the not the prodigal son, but he's the saviour. You know, you come there and you need to dominate and we'll play finals because of you. Whereas if you go to a Hawthorn, there's still a club that's on the rise. You know, there's probably not as much media hype about you. And so they feel like maybe he's the kind of character that would, you know, enjoy that. I think his parents have moved back into the city, but, you know, he's closer to his home, you know, closer to the family, the extended family down in Gippsland. So there's a bit of an idea of that, you know. But like, as we speak now on Tuesday, you wouldn't be absolutely shocked if any of those three contenders still nabbed him. I suppose the question is, what happens to the club that misses out? So if you are Essendon and you miss out on Ben Mackay, you're in deep trouble.
Mm. And why is that, Ralphie?
Well, because they've, you know, because they desperately need a key fullback, and they've already lost Brandon Zirk Thatcher to Port Adelaide. So then you're probably looking at players out there like Dougal Howard, who are, you know, quality stoppers, but maybe not rounded superstars. So whoever loses out, again, if it's Hawthorn, you know, you're going with James Blank and you're going with Sam Frost, who's contracted the next year. You know, you'd be desperate to try and upgrade. So that's why the market is a bit stagnant, but there will be players out there who are contracted that clubs will have a real crack at. I keep thinking of Lewis Young, who's the Carlton player who's, I think, a long way down the pecking order. He's right now really happy to stay. But if I was a club, I'd be asking for players like Lewis Young. You know, what do we have to do to get him out of Carlton? Because you just, if you're Hawthorn or you're Essendon or you're Sydney, you cannot go into next season having missed on Ben Mackay and having done nothing else to try and improve your key position stocks.
It is a nice little segue because Chris Scott on AFL 360 on Monday night said the key position stocks are bare. There aren't much out there. And obviously for him, he's trying to play hardball and drive a hard bargain for Asava Radigalia. But is that a fair comment from him?
He's right. If you're an established player out there that you are guaranteed to have 5 or 8 great years from. I'm not sure Asava Radigalia is that player. Yeah, he's shown some potential, but he's also had horrible moments, and he also was playing VFL in, I think, rounds 18 and 19. And so Geelong wants a future first rounder, as Jay Clark's reported a couple of times. I don't think he's a future first rounder, but he's not a second rounder. He's not a Port Adelaide, you know, future second rounder that, let's face it, if they have a good year next year, comes in a pick 40. So, you know, what's your over under on him? Is he pick 25? Probably.
Yep.
So I think it's, you know, maybe Port Adelaide's giving off a future first rounder and they're swapping their – problem is they should both finish a roughly
similar.
You find a way to give an extra third, or you find a way to swap some picks you already have that means that it's not quite a first, it's not as bad as a second. They'll find the right equation. He's out of contract. They have played him in the VFL. And as much as Chris Scott, I think, he's angry because he felt like he played him at times before he was ready. So I think Asava feels like, well, hang on, you've played me in the VFL. But what Chris Scott would say is, hang on, we played you for a full year at times when you just weren't ready as a forward. We backed you in. So, I mean, Geelong can be upset about that. But the whole point of this equation is, what can you get for him? And there's just no way that Port Adelaide's going to give away a future first. So they will find a way to actually get a deal done. It's just tough for Geelong. They got a lot of key position stars there, and he's probably not necessarily in their best team. And so no one would begrudge him getting to Port Adelaide.
This is a question without notice, but do you know how much Port are going to offer him?
The feeling was there was lots of talk around about $5 million deals over 7 years. And those close to Asava said that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, he's aware of the fact of how much pressure that would put on him. So I think it's something like 5 years at maybe 600. But I also think it's got it's going to have an uptick in terms of the CBA. So 600 right now could turn into, you know, $800,000 by 2027, and that's fair. That's the market right now.
And so for a player that's demanded that in previous, is that usually a first round draft pick? If another club is offering 5 years, it's, let's just say 650.
Let's say 600. No, that's not first round pick.
So it is in the second territory on, you know, market value.
Yeah, and that's the best thing about future picks, and that's the best thing about being able to trade multiple selections there, that you can, that it's not the old standoff. We'll give you a first, now we'll give you a second, now he's going into the preseason draft. It's like, we'll get a deal done. You know, Andrew Mackey and Jason Cripps are pretty smart about these things, and so I understand why Geelong is upset about it, but if they were so desperate to keep him, they would have played him, you know, every single time, and instead he would still look at round one next year and say, Tom Stewart, Jack Henry, you know, if he can get over his foot issues, Collar Jasny, you know, those are the players who are potentially going to play ahead of him.
And just finally, we have spoken about the, you know, the bare key position market down back.
Yep.
You've written a column in Tuesday's Herald Sun about who Melbourne should scour the market for. Yep. There's a few Godfather Hail Marys in there. I think you had a few texts saying, surely Oscar Allen isn't moving. But there's not many forwards out there, is there?
Yep. And the reason is because any forward who is any good, the Aaron Nortons of the world, they get 5 or 6 years very early in a contract and they get multi-million dollar contracts. And so that the clubs are really smart about that. And that's why you've got to find, as I say, some of those players out there, whether it's a Marby Achol, you know, whether it's a Jeremy Finlayson, probably less likely to move given, you know, his wife's cancer battle. But there are players out there that you can turn from a 18-goal player to a 40-goal player in a really good forward line if you can improve the mid-forward connection. Josh Shackey's still signed up for next year. Ben Brown's likely to go again. He's contracted too, even though he just has, you know, more arthroscopes on his knee than you or I have hot dinners. So I think the only thing they can't do with this list that should be good, capable of a dynasty, is just say, well, we hope that Bailey Fritsch won't get injured, and we hope that, you know, Tom McDonald might turn back the clock at 32, despite, you know, 2 scoring shots in over a couple of finals. You know, we hope that Harrison Petty's got a Lisfranc fracture.
Yep.
You know, they are significant injuries. Jack Melksham's coming off an ACL. He might be back in round 18, but there's no way you can consider that he would play the really solid role that he did in the last 6 weeks of the year before the ACL. You just can't do that. They've got the two best interceptors in the comp, you know, in terms of May and Lever. They've got the best midfield, you could say. They've certainly got the best ruckman, a 6-time All-Australian. They've got, you know, Cozzy Pickett and Bailey Fritsch. You don't need to be going for Harley Reid, even though that'd be nice. You've got $1.5 million of cap space. You've got multiple first-round picks, maybe 3 if you want to use a future first-rounder. I know they'll just say, look, you know, just hasten slowly and we've just got to be methodical in our rebuild. No, this is the time to top up. This is the time for Melbourne to splash the cash.
So they need to find some value, someone out there that's maybe undervalued at another club. Ironically, they need to find a Jesse Hogan that was undervalued at Fremantle, who has now turned it around at GWS. Yep. As you said, it's a player that he kicked probably 20 goals from an injury-affected year, and now he's you know, one of the better forwards in the comp.
He's been exceptional. You know, halfway through the year, they're thinking, oh, can we just eke out another one-year contract extension? I think, you know, people, even Melbourne fans, would say, did we let him go at the right time? You know, they got Stephen May in as part of that deal. He's a vastly different person and a footballer to what he was. We all know his issues at Fremantle. So some players just mature differently and, you know, take it 8 years to get the head out of the proverbial, if you know what I mean. And so he's that player now. He's really settled at GWS. I think he's happy in Sydney. So, I mean, he would have been a lovely player to consider, but that's not going to happen.
Just finally, just quickly, is it a nervous time trade period from a journalism point of view?
Nah, it's just a crappy time because, you know, there's lots of lies and mistruths and agendas and all those things, and you just find a way through them. It's also fun. You know, people love talking about it, and it's great to write about things that, that people have passion about. But, it's put it this way. When we get to mid-October and that trade bell rings for the final time, I'll just pump the fist and crack a bottle of scotch and we'll all be better for the world.
And then we'll look at the free agent for 2024.
The free agents, who are they out there? So anyway, anything that moves the needle, anything that people are interested in talking about, I'm interested in writing about, Chief of Staff Will.
Thank you, Ralphie. Well, that'll probably do it for today's show. As always, thanks to our guests Scott Gallen, John Ralph and Glenn McFarlane. I'm Will Hogan. We'll be back next week, but head to the Herald Sun football website for all the latest coverage ahead of this week's preliminary finals. We have Media Shred at 12 p.m. on Wednesday. Mick McGowan previews this week's games at 12 p.m. on Thursdays. And Mark Robinson's Tackle is a must-read, 6 p.m. Sunday night. See you next week.